Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Tennessee men's basketball coach Rick Barnes coming up at 8:15. We'll look ahead to the SEC tournament with him. Recap a great regular season for the Vols, finishing undefeated at home at Thompson Bowling Arena as well. So that coming up at 8:15. Big week for college basketball this week. This is Joe Rexroad's favorite time of the year. I can already tell he is jazzed up this week. Rexroad is pushing P for some college basketball.
There is no doubt. And how about those mocks last night? My goodness.
What a buzzer beater. But
great for them. Incredible. But Furman, the first NCAA bid since 1980. I did not know that. Until that shot went through.
Heartbreaking.
Oh my
Maybe
goodness.
Next year, Furman.
Ooh, and they've been good. Like Furman has actually been a really solid program in the SoCon last few years.
Program.
You know, they've been close. Program, good program. And yeah, that's what it is. There's more to come. This week should be pretty amazing. I think now maybe I'm biased because, it's what I cover and I'll be there and everything, but I feel like the SEC tournament has a chance to be the headline grabber before the bracket comes out Sunday, because the Saturday semis could be pretty amazing.
Well, the Saturday semis could be pretty amazing, and Vanderbilt going to be in action before then, taking on Georgia. And Vandy basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse had some interesting trash talk yesterday at the expense of Coach K and the University of Duke. I guess it's Duke University. Which one is it? I don't even know.
It's Duke University, I think. Yeah.
Jeez. Vingan would be all over me right now. Anyway, here's what Jerry Stackhouse had
to say. U of D. Let's just call it U of D.
U of D. Here's what Jerry Stackhouse had to say yesterday at his press conference talking about Duke.
Yeah, I mean, I got tremendous respect for Coach K and what he's been able to accomplish, man. You know, like I said before, it's hard for guys to accomplish things to have a 10-year run, and for you to do that multiple times. I mean, 42 years, unbelievable accomplishment, unbelievable leader, unbelievable winner. But at the same time, we still hate him, right? You know, we're super glad to spoil the party. I was able to get back to the locker room and catch the last few minutes of that, really, how the guys performed at the end of the game. Super happy for Hubert and what he's been able to accomplish. He's had the ups and downs this year. Again, a lot of, doubters and naysayers. And, it's, at the end of the day, he's won 20-plus wins, probably got the ACC Player of the Year this year in Baycott. And, yeah, I didn't lose any sleep over that. Coach Case had, and he had a temper tantrum at the end. So we must have really got under him skin. So that's the way a Carolina Duke rivalry is supposed to end. Yeah. So got assistants not shaking hands, and those are good. Those dudes care well, and all those guys. Pretty good dude, but it just shows you how that rivalry really means something. They were upset, and again, like I say, I never lost over there, so I don't know what it feels like. I never lost to Duke, period. So I can toot my nose up a little bit more at them, but still. But enough of that, man. Anchor down.
That was Jerry Stackhouse yesterday at his press conference, going through the just how fun it is to watch Duke lose, the temper tantrum that Coach K threw, and, of course, making sure he got it in there at the end of, yeah, by the way, I never lost to them. That was a nice little subtle shot at the end there. But enough of that. Anchor down. Good stuff from Stackhouse yesterday.
Fantastic. Absolutely loved it. And that speaks well to that rivalry. I mean, it really is. And that rivalry, in terms of just the emotional stakes, it's awfully special. Because obviously both teams are so often at the top of the sport, but just the people who are actually in that rivalry, boy, I mean, that everything revolves around that game. I feel like some years, like, that game means more than whatever they do in the tournaments, So good stuff from Stackhouse here. Some nice little trash talk kind of weaved in there, you know?
Yeah, that was good stuff. And as you mentioned yesterday, they've got a chance to maybe have an NIT berth if they show well in this tournament. I mean, technically, they still got a chance to make the tournament if you go on a run and win the SEC tournament. But
Just win five games in five days.
No big deal other than that. Overall, what do you make of the job that Jerry Stackhouse has done this year? And if you're a Vanderbilt fan, based on the trajectory of the program, how do you think Vanderbilt fans should feel about Jerry Stackhouse and the job that he's done to this point?
Program. Well, look, first of all, you can't say there's been no progress. You know, you can't say that. You have to understand what he took over, you know. So we've talked about that. I mean, you know, took over a winless SEC team. Had what could have been a good first team if Aaron Neesmith would have stayed healthy. He's had a lot of injury issues. Now, at some point, people don't want to hear about that anymore. But I even think that you've seen this year. So I'm writing about Rodney Chapman for tomorrow. It's an interesting story on Rodney Chapman, who is going to try to go in the SEC tournament. He's had knee and hamstring stuff this year. You know, Chapman, they're 7-3 with him. And obviously, you can see with Liam Robbins, if they had him all year, would that have made a difference? Yeah, I mean, I think this team could have been an NCAA tournament team. Do fans want to hear what could have been? No, a lot of them don't. And I understand that. But you've seen progress. You have 7 SEC wins this year. You had a total of 6 in the previous 3 years. This is the most NCAA wins for the program since Bryce Drew's first year. Of course, Bryce Drew got Vanderbilt to the NCAA tournament his first year. He also inherited a much better situation than Jerry Stackhouse did. When you talk about Kevin Stallings and some of the, you know, Matthew Fisher Davis and Riley LaChance, and of course Luke Cornett as a senior that year was fantastic. So, look, at some point, like Jerry Stackhouse, like you got to get to the NCAA tournament. You want to have a winning season. I think it would be a big deal for Vanderbilt to get an NIT bid this year and get the extra practice time and just get that exposure. What does that take? Well, I think it's going to take at least 2 wins, I would think. It's hard to know with the NIT. I mean, they don't even have like the above 500 as a, you know, you don't, that's not necessarily a rule anymore. But typically, you don't see teams with losing records get in there. I will say just Scottie Pippen Jr. alone could be appealing to the NIT folks, you know, so maybe if they like beat Georgia and then lose to Alabama, I wouldn't totally rule it out, but I feel like they got to at least beat Alabama too, which would be their next game Thursday night. And then that would set them up for Kentucky, you know, so they're talking. So, you know, Georgia, they should win. Yes. Beat a team 3 times, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they should win. Alabama, I think they can win. You know, I do want to know, like, what kind of Chapman are they going to have in this tournament? He's very important. And then, Kentucky probably won't go well. But, you know, they did hang with them at Lexington. So if they get the NIT bid, are Vanderbilt fans happy with that? You know, look, there's some Vanderbilt fans that I think are just – they're just down on Stackhouse. They want a coaching change or whatever. And there's some Vanderbilt fans who are very excited about what they see. I just, with player development and how they play, I don't know how, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you don't see there's a lot of good stuff with some of the end of game losses and things. Sure. I mean, that's frustrating because they could be in a much better position right now.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Tennessee men's basketball coach Rick Barnes. That's coming up on the other side. Looking forward to that conversation. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, right now, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello there. That's right, guys. If you're out there struggling with erectile dysfunction, I bet you're sick of the pill, sick of the side effects, or maybe you don't even want to try them. I don't blame you. Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough. It's called acoustic wave therapy. It's a few 10-minute sessions, non-invasively, and no pain here. The pressure waves that this technology delivers opens up and regrows blood vessels. It is clinically proven to get rid of the ED by improving blood flow, and there are no pills involved.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this technology?
Well, that's what's so great is this is not a theory. This is clinically proven, and there are 50 studies, even from Cambridge University, showing it works, it's safe and effective, and that it leads to a clinical increase in blood flow. Who doesn't want more of that in the bedroom?
And Andrew, you've got a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
I do. If you're ready to put a stop to your ED and regain your love life, call us now this morning. The exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound will be free. And this gift that is very popular produces immediate results in the bedroom. It's worth hundreds of dollars free to callers now.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Vols basketball coach Rick Barnes. Looking forward to that conversation coming up here in just a few minutes. Going to be an interesting SEC tournament coming up this weekend in Tampa, Florida. Tennessee, Arkansas, Auburn, and Kentucky, the top four in the SEC. They have pretty much been the top four all season long. What a season it was for the Vols, especially at home. Thompson Bowling Arena, they finished 16-0 at home, including a dramatic win against Arkansas the other day to close out the regular season. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Tennessee men's basketball head coach Rick Barnes. Rick, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Rick, what do you make of your team and your performance heading into the SEC tournament? What have you learned about your group this year, and where do you think your team sits as they head into tournament play coming up later this week?
Well, you know, I said from the very beginning that we had a group of guys. You know, we've got a team, half freshmen and some older guys. And right off the bat, you know, the way they meshed together, the chemistry was good starting all the way back, you know, almost a year ago in the summer and the spring and all that. But we like every team, you know, you go through phases throughout the year where, you know, things are going good while you're trying to build your team. And then the reality of that, everybody's not going to play as many minutes as they would hope to play. But when that all settles down and then when you really start becoming together as a team, these guys have been truly awesome. They like each other. They pull for each other. They compete against each other every day. And, you know, like every team, you know, we've had to deal with some nicks and nacks, injuries here, whatever. And you know, we had a game this year where we had two guys out because of the COVID. But all in all, I would say that these guys have done just a tremendous job and hope that we can continue playing good basketball. We know we got to get better. That's for certain.
Rick, how much has Kennedy Chandler grown this year? I mean, it just seems like he has – such a better command now of when to go, when to attack, finding people, seeing the floor. Would you agree with that? And what is the process like for a freshman? I mean, people forget. You're talking about someone who was playing high school basketball a year ago, so much put on his shoulders. How have you seen him grow, and how do you feel about him, you know, heading into the postseason?
Well, I think his biggest growth has come from having the everyday compete against Santiago Vestavi and Zakai Ziegler. I think that's probably been helped him as much as any, because those two guys are what you see them do on the court. They do every day. And I think Kennedy, like most freshmen coming in, they think it's what they've done up to that point is what's going to continue to get them by. And then he was struggling, and we go to Texas, and he really had a tough game there. And afterwards, he spent some time with one of my former players, TJ Ford, who was National Player of the Year, and TJ took him out on the court, had a man-to-man talk with him, and basically said, hey, if this is what you want, you're going to have to take the responsibility to want to get better every single day. And where he was lacking at that point in time was probably his defense, on-ball defense, and learning how to move without the ball. He had always had the ball in his hand. He had always, when he passed, it was normally one pass away, and we're just waiting for it to come back to him. And never had to deal with ball screen, real true ball screen defense the way it is in college basketball. And where he wants to go, that's probably as much the development he's going to have to continue to develop, because, you know, point guards in the NBA probably get hit 70, 80 times a game with ball screens. And so with that said, he did embrace it, and he came back, and his defense has gotten tremendously better. He's learned how to really move without the ball, and I think he's lethal when he's away from the ball, and he starts those steam cuts or 45-degree cuts that we talk about, moving without the ball. But you're right about his pace. I think he has learned when to go more, when not to, and come in from different angles, those type things. He's gotten so much better, and I think he's just starting to scratch the surface to how good he can be if he continues to work the way he's doing it now.
Falls basketball coach Rick Barnes on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Rick, obviously you're not going to have home court advantage moving forward into tournament play, but I have to ask you, just 16-0 at Thompson Bowling Arena this year, what did you make of the atmosphere at TBA, and just how much has that grown in your time as head coach at Tennessee?
Well, you know, before the COVID, we were doing great. We really were. We had Thompson Bowling where it was really one of the best in the country. When you think about the size of our arena, I think it's the best in the country. When you think about, you know, for the whole year, we averaged over 18,000 fans from, you know, throughout the 16 games, but the conference, most of them were up over 20,000. And I do know this, that the last month of the season, we've had the best basketball arena in the country, best fans. Our student body turnout was terrific, our fans here. The one thing that I have learned in my time here, and people had told me about it, Ball Nation is real. And not, I mean, we know what we have in football, we know what we have in basketball, but what they do for women's basketball, what for women's softball, our baseball program. I mean, what happened here last spring in our baseball program was just electric. And you go down the line, everything here, our fan base really support our athletes. But I do know that there hasn't been a better arena in the country than Thompson Bowling Arena this year.
Yeah, it's incredible when it gets rocking like that. No question about it. So, Rick, you mentioned injuries. And of course, the big one to Olivia and Kamwa. I feel like your two freshman bigs obviously have made some strides here. Plavsic, too. And then, of course, John Fulkerson is there for you as a key player. How do you view the interior group at this point? Do you feel like basically you can go to a game and maybe sometimes matchups will just dictate minutes and combinations, or do you feel like those young guys maybe are just really pushing to be on the floor more often?
Matchups determine most what goes on during the game. You know, we don't have, like, you go, for instance, go back to the Georgia game, a game where my players afterwards thought that they were as hard to defend as anybody, because there was times they had five guards on the floor. And it's hard to ask young freshmen who are still learning a lot about the college game to do that. So we sized down to them, and then we finally said, you know what, we're going to make them size up to us. And so we went big, and really the game flipped back because of they couldn't rebound with that group. And so there's always a chess match going on during basketball games, and the matchups are key. But I'm really proud of those guys. I mean, when Olivier went down, it obviously opened the door up those guys. I mean, we could have made a decision at that point in time to go with Josiah playing basically, you know, a step out four, which he does at times, and we often close games that way. But we thought, you know, these guys, we believe in them, and we know that they're young. We know that they've got to get better. So with that said, we are, you know, we're going to keep working and working with them. But each game, I think who we play determines how and who we play.
Well, Rick, you brought up Josiah there. How do you kind of put into words, you know, what all he does for your group, whether that's scoring or the dirty work of defense and rebounding, just what Josiah means to your group as you head into tournament play now?
Well, obviously, what he means to our group, it's what he means to our program. To be quite honest with you, he came in when Grant and those guys were leaving, and then we had that tough year with Lamonte, and everything that seemed to could go wrong went wrong, and he came in, and a lot was placed on him. But the way he has developed, just not only into a leader, but the way he represents our program and the way his work ethic is really second to none. I mean, he's totally reconstructed his shot when he got here. He has just the total game. He's got a great basketball IQ. He's got great hands. If you really watch the game closely, he gets his hands on a lot of balls and rebounds. He's guarded every position on the court defensively. He's played every position on the court offensively. And when actually during the Arkansas game, when they made that push to, and they were coming back, he was a guy that made a couple really key, not only basket, but key plays in that game at the right time.
Talking to Tennessee coach Rick Barnes. Yeah, and Rick, I feel like obviously with Josiah, does everything well, huge leader. I feel like he and Santiago, they seem to be, I know coaches talk a lot about, getting old with a team, right, and how key that can be. And you have some tremendously talented young players on this team, but those two seem kind of like your rocks, your foundation. What about Santiago this year transitioning maybe to a little bit more comfortable spot? And what about just his shooting? How has that taken such a leap this year?
Well, the biggest change since he's walked on campus is how he's changed his body. He is in elite shape, elite. I mean, he can play forever. I mean, and he's logged a lot of minutes. I think that, we have this little chip that these guys wear in their back of their pants it tells us everything they do, every movement they make, distance and all that. I think a week ago, Garrett told me he was over 500 miles this year running and practicing everything. Just, it's amazing when you think about it. And he might be 100 miles ahead of the next closest person. Because he's a guy in practice that never takes himself out. He really takes practice very, very seriously. A lot of guys might come back and spend more time back and forth. When he comes in, he's going to get his work done at an extremely high level. He early, stay late, but he's going to get his work done. And another guy that really understands basketball. He does a lot of talking on the floor. With he and Josiah really do a lot of talking. Zakai has learned to do some of that too. But when you get guys out there that when they start coaching themselves on the court, like when we do our game day walkthrough, we always do our defensive on the second half. We call it second half defense, and this is where we make sure they get loud, get voices, because down there when they're away from our bench in the second half, really when the game's going to be probably won on that end, if you don't have voices down there when the game's going crazy and the team's away from your bench, it's really difficult. And he and Josiah have both grown in leaders that way. And there's no doubt those are the two leaders on our team.
Rick, last thing for you here. I know, Dick Vitale means a lot to college basketball, and he's been very public about, his battle with cancer. And I know you don't do this for the public attention of it, but he has shared some messages that you've sent him along the way, and Vol Nation has responded very kindly to that. I'm just, curious from your vantage point what Dick Vitale means to you and what he means to college basketball.
Well, when I was at Providence College, we had a Midnight Madness. We didn't have a football program. Our big event for recruiting was Midnight Madness. We made it as big as we could make it, and every year we would have a Dick Vitale sound alike. And our students, I can tell you this, we had guys that if you were looking the other way, you would have thought you were listening to Dick Vitale. And it was a big thing that we did. And when Dick was in the building, that was where the action was. And so you could feel his presence reverberate with the students. They knew it was coming. He was coming, and wherever he was, Dickie B's in town, and he was awesome with the students, always over there in that student section. But he's meant a lot to college basketball in so many different ways. But I think what he's done outside of basketball with his fight for cancer and pediatric cancer, what he's doing with his gala every year, outweighs all that he has done for basketball, because he's been a great encourager for so many people, and the way he has fought for that pediatric cancer has been just amazing. But he's worked on, obviously, the V board. And he and I, you know, I just, when I heard what had happened, I texted him and told him I'd be praying for him every day. And you know what? I just started writing my prayers to him. What I was praying for him, I just started texting them to him. And he would hit me back. And one day he said to me, he said, Rick, you don't have to do this every day. I said, you know, Dick, honestly, it's good for me because it gives me a chance to spend even more alone time with the Lord, and I like it. And he said, well, I appreciate it. And ever since that day, you know, there's not a, I either text him morning, noon, I change it up depending on when I can really get alone and have that quiet time that I want and with the Lord. And then I just text it to him. But, you know, he's in a big, today's a big day for him. He's going to find out today, I think, from his scan, that whether or not the chemo has been working on the cancer. So these next 2 days, and I think these next 2 weeks are really important. And obviously, he hasn't been able to speak, but yet he hasn't been able to stay quiet because of what he's, you know, what he does with his social media. And but he's a huge part of college basketball, and he's affected so many people's lives.
Very well said. Rick Barnes, Tennessee basketball coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So Rick, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck coming up this weekend in Tampa Bay, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely.
God bless you. All right,
thanks a lot, Rick.
Rick Barnes, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. We'll come back. We'll react to what Rick Barnes had to say there. Welcome your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. One on 2-5 The Game Preds Game Day broadcasts are brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens and baths on the web at GoHermitage.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit LittleGuysFranchise.com. Thanks to Rick Barnes for joining us in the last segment. That guy's pretty great. Pretty awesome interview with Rick Barnes there.
Yep, he's yeah. That's why, you know, I mean, you won't find anyone in the sport who doesn't like Rick Barnes. Well, I mean, maybe you'll find somebody. I don't know.
Maybe
you're gonna be. Yeah, I guess that's true. Penny, that's true. Penny and Rick had a little flap, although, and it mostly seemed to come from Penny's side. But
you think that Rick Barnes told him his floor looked ugly out there in Memphis? I don't know. Well, the gym floor that was that? The other day.
Did they have that floor back then when the Vols allegedly were, you know, coming in and just trying to start fights left and right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But pretty cool. Pretty awesome stuff just on him and Dick Vitale. And he's right. I mean, that's the thing. You think about that. So he's talking about Providence. So, you know, he was at Providence in the late 80s. Providence, you know, having, you know, Dick Vitale sound-alikes, okay? I mean, that started in the 80s. I mean, he's been as central to college basketball as anyone. He's such a huge part of the sport, the popularity of the sport. And like Rick said, then you look at what he's done to fight pediatric cancer. It's his life's mission. So pretty cool story that, you know, and I know Rick Barnes is one of many people who are supporting Dick Vitale, but that's kind of a special thing that he's done here, and also speaks to who Rick Barnes is.
Yep, no question about it. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I thought his answer there to Kennedy Chandler and kind of his maturation process this year was interesting. I mean, it was pretty clear early on. You know, you could see the raw ability from Kennedy Chandler, and he put that on display several times to begin the season and then went through a lull there for a while, and it looks like he's come out on the other side of it. And it is, like, you know, physically, just the difference going from high school basketball to college basketball, but also mentally as well, you know, and that, you know, you're going to have to fight through some ball screens. You got to find a way to be able to go to both sides of the floor. You can't just go to the left or go to the right. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. And I thought his response there on Kennedy Chandler was pretty interesting in terms of what that means for him as he moves forward here. And, you know, now heading into the tournament, I think you're feeling pretty good if you're Rick Barnes about where Kennedy Chandler's game is outside of maybe the free throw line, like we talked about the other day.
Yeah, and it's, you know, great, you know, analysis. Obviously, you'd think that Rick Barnes would be pretty good at analyzing Tennessee basketball, but some of those, like you talk about, those diagonal cuts off the ball with Kennedy Chandler going downhill, little backdoor cuts, stuff like that, where they've gotten some layups or gotten him to the line on. It's so lethal when you have another ball handler, you know, that you can trust. And honestly, I think Zakai Ziegler might be a little bit better at initiating the offense and sort of running it,
yeah.
Which, you know, and that's what Kennedy Chandler is going to do in the NBA. He's a point guard. But when you can get it to where now Ziegler initiates and you can use Chandler as a scoring threat, and then you have Vescovy and his 45% three-point shot on the other side, well, this is part of why this is a very good team.
Well, Kennedy Chandler's going to shoot the three like he did the other day, then you're going to be in good shape coming down the stretch here if you're the Vols. Now, there's a lot more that's going to have to go into it. I mean, the bigs, I'm interested to see, and he talked about, you know, the matchups dictating a lot of what we see with the bigs out there, but as you now move into tournament play, particularly in the NCAA tournament, when every game is so crucial, I'm interested to see how that rotation with bigs, how that goes for Tennessee. And, you know, is Adu going to be the main guy carrying the load down there? Is it going to be, you know, Huntley Hatfield? How much does John Fulkerson get into the mix? It's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out as tournament time comes up, and you need, number one, poise, but you need to be able to make some big plays and big moments.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Fulkerson, whenever the matchup is okay, you know, obviously they love having Fulkerson out there because he does a lot of little things to help you win. It's just sometimes, like, you need a little bit more size and strength, you yep. know, or a little bit more rebounding, maybe a little bit more ability to, you know, bully into the paint and try to get an inside bucket. But it is good to have those options. You know, they go big a lot, which is interesting. That's not all that normal anymore in college basketball to really play with two bigs for an extended period of time, but they do. And like Rick said, I mean, for the most part, if you watch them at the end of games, for the most part, Josiah James is at the four, and they have one big in with Ziegler, Chandler, Vescovy. But they, you know, they preserve some legs a little bit by going big for a lot of the game. To have one of those guys really emerge would be huge to me in this tournament. And really, probably one of the two young guys. Obviously, if they both play well, great. But if one of them could really get on a roll, I think that would do a lot for this team. I mean, they're, you know, Huntley Hatfield and Adu both very big, talented, athletic, and just starting to figure it out. I mean, to me, that's been a big part of where they are here, winning 9 out of 10 games as well.
Joe, some news on the NFL front. We talked about David Njoku getting the franchise tag placed on him yesterday. There's a thought that maybe Dalton Schultz in Dallas going to have the franchise tag placed on him as well. The Dolphins have now placed the franchise tag on tight end Mike Gesicki as well. So that's going to be roughly a $10.93 million cap hit for Mike Gesicki, but take him off the list. He has been placed on the tag by the Miami Dolphins. I don't think a big surprise there.
Yeah. So some of those tight ends coming off the board. But again, he was going to be, if that didn't happen and he was out there, probably a little bit too rich for the Titans' blood anyway. So, you know, you got to look in that little middle tier a little bit here.
When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Preds taking on the Dallas Stars tonight. If you guess a goal scorer, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. The Players' Championship is back with one of the best fields in golf, and now you can take a shot at the Island Green with FanDuel Sportsbook. And new customers get 30-1 odds on defending champ Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, or Xander Schauffele to make the cut at the Players. That's right, if any of those players make the cut at TPC Sawgrass, you win $150 on a $5 bet. I like JT to get it done. I think he definitely makes the cut. and does well in the tournament. But you take it any way you want to take it. Step up to the tee and take a swing at betting the Players Championship. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app with promo code ROB to get 30-1 odds on JT, Colin Morikawa, or Xander Schauffele to make the cut at the Players. Sign up with promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bet of $5. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators taking on the Dallas Stars tonight at Bridgestone Arena. A massive game tonight at Bridgestone. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the Preds Pick to Click competition is as such. There's starting to be some separation. The listeners with 15 correct answers. Joe Rex Road with 12 correct answers. Robbie with 10 and Michelle with 7. So the listeners have taken a huge lead in the competition now, Rex Road. They're up by 3.
Yeah, it doesn't really count. They always get the first pick. It was rigged from the start.
It is. I mean, we might have to change the rules. We did have
fun. Can we?
Oh, well, I don't know. You're a part of the show. You're a part of the executive committee.
Man, I can't push P on that. See, that doesn't make that reference isn't right. Dang it. we forgot to ask Rick about pushing P, by the way. Gosh darn it.
We did. Well, get him back on the show. Get him back in here. We can spend 15 minutes on that. In all seriousness, big game coming up tonight between the Predators and the Stars. We had Connie on the line. She dropped off. I think we're trying to get back with her right now. So should we go ahead and do it without Connie? Should I get the first pick today, Rex Road? Do we feel like there's is this like a Calvin Ridley-esque inside job if I do this?
She already told me her pick and her defense.
Okay. All right. So are we doing this?
Matt Benning.
It could be. That's happened before here on the program. Michelle, if you know her pick, we'll just do that. I think that's what we're going to do.
Okay, yeah, can't get a hold of Connie. Sorry, can't get a hold of Connie, but she told me that her pick is going to be Tanner Janot for tonight.
All righty, I like it. Tanner Janot off the board. I tell you what, Joe, in all seriousness, in a game like this where you're going to have to work your butt off to get to the middle of the ice, that's a pretty good pick from Connie. I like it. So Tanner Janot off the board. But that also leaves me with the opportunity to select Philip Forsberg, so I'm going to do that. Philip Forsberg, my selection. Joe Rex wrote, Janot and Forsberg off the board. Your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Matt Duchene.
Wow, Rexo didn't even have to think about it. He usually does.
Whoa, so out of the box.
Yeah,
there,
really,
Joe.
Really went for it there. It's like Gonzaga picking them to win.
And then they lost.
Yeah, and they lost. Yeah, well, when it's a gimme like that, now maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe Duchene used up too many in the last couple games. But, and you know, to your point, this is a grimy goal kind of game,
it is,
which isn't necessarily Matt Duchene's forte, but you know what?
He's
had quite
a few
goals. He's had quite a few goals right in that nice danger area too. So, yes, feel good about that one. Thank you to both of you.
Janot, Forsberg, and Duchene off the board. Michelle Knezevic, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Well, I thought I was going to be in the clear because Tanner Janot was my number one pick in my head. But obviously, Connie went that route. So I'm going to go Mikael Granlund tonight.
I like it. Granlund being a little bit more of a shooter on his line night, which I don't think is a bad idea. I think Granlund's a good pick. So Janot, Forsberg, Duchene, and Granlund, the selections. This has been Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We're going to have Chris Mason on later in the show, coming up at 9:30. But Joe, just a massive game tonight for the Nashville Predators. If you can get 2 points in this game, and particularly 2 points in regulation in this game, that sets yourself up for a great week here. You've got 3 of these 4 games coming up this week at home, a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday, so early Saturday game, I think 11:30 is puck drop time on Saturday at Bridgestone, and then you travel to take on Minnesota on Sunday night. So this is a huge opportunity starting tonight for this Predators team to really make some noise. You heard Pete Weber in a promo a couple of segments ago talk about this could be the most important week of the season for the Predators. You know, as we get towards the end of the season, I feel like we say that about every week, but in all seriousness, like this week, the result of it could end up being the most important week for the Nashville Predators, and that starts tonight against Dallas.
Yeah. Now, look, I guess if you go 2-2, then it's like the next week is the biggest week, right?
That's why I said could be.
Me, it's like if you – yes, yes. But it could be, I think, if it's 1 or 0 in either category, either way, you know? If you win 3 of 4 or you lose 3 of 4 or win all, lose all, man, it gets clear, you know? It's like you really have either made some serious gains and entrenched yourself and you're back in a good spot. If you win 3 or 4 of these games, you're probably going to be right there thinking about St. Louis. And if you lose 3 or 4 of these games, that's not good. It doesn't end it. You'll still be in the race. You're still, you still have a lot of hockey to make up for it, but it doesn't bode well. It doesn't bode well for your chances. And of course, then you are a week away from the trading deadline. And it, like next week, the discussion around this team could be so vastly different based on, honestly, like 3-1, like 3-1 or 1-3. Huge difference in what we're talking about next week.
Well, big difference. And also, like, we're getting close to the point now with less than 2 weeks remaining until the deadline. Like, the Forsberg chatter around here is about to crank up a lot because what the results look like this week is going to be, I think, playing in large part, at least in the minds of the Preds fan of, all right, what should you do with Philip Forsberg? Now, some people have already made up their minds. I've already made up my mind. I think they need to sign him, and I think they will sign him as it comes down the stretch here. But the longer he goes unsigned over the course of this next couple of weeks, the more that chatter is going to pick up as well. Now, if you keep winning, it's going to be harder and harder, I think, for David Poile to pull the trigger and say, you know what, yeah, we're trading our best forward right now when we're winning games. And, you know, potentially at the end of this week, you could be in third place in the Central. You could be staring down the barrel of second place in the Central. You could be, you know, 4 or 5 points back of the Stars by the end of this week. I don't really know how it's going to shake out, but to your point, there's a lot of different ways it could go, and the Philip Forsberg conversation around here, I think at least with the fans, it's largely going to be dictated by this week as to what David Poile should do.
Right.
If he remains outside, of course.
Exactly. Much more fans, what we're talking about, probably than, like, you know, internally. I mean, ultimately, they need to come to an agreement. I mean, I think David Poile's made it very clear he wants that to happen.
Yes.
So is it just as simple as once you get real close to the deadline, okay, now you come a little bit this way, all right, I come a little bit that way? Or is it as simple as Poile saying, okay, fine, no movement clause, let's go? Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, that's separate from all this. But as far as, yes, the sentiment on what to do, as silly as it may sound, you know, week of hockey, it's been on that, you know, it's been kind of teetering on that here for a while as they've kind of, you know, sunk back into the pack. And I do understand both sides of the argument, but I mean, I'm with you, you know, you got to try to sign him. But if you, you know, if you're in a rough spot 2 weeks from yesterday, and it's just looking less and less like you're going to make the postseason, that's where it just gets. And we've talked about that months ago. Like, what if that's the situation at the trading deadline? You know, and then and how does that possibly affect David Poile's view on that if there is not a long term deal in place?
Yeah, it's certainly worth considering for sure. You know, this is the time of year when I start to do the playoff odds stuff. So I get on moneypuck.com a lot. I think last week the Predators were at like 47% or whatever. They're at 53% right now. Minnesota's at 98.2% to make the playoffs. And I still think they'll make the playoffs. But with the skid that they've been on as of late, and considering the fact that they are now dead even with the Dallas Stars, and the Stars have a 63.6% chance to make it, I don't really know how Minnesota's at 98.2%.
That's weird. First of all, I didn't realize the Preds ever went under 50.
Oh, they did.
So does Minnesota have like just an astoundingly soft schedule down the stretch?
I don't know.
They just have like, look. like 8 straight games against the Coyotes or something? I mean, what is – that's bizarre, isn't it?
Better watch out for Arizona. They've taken down Colorado twice.
Yeah, how about that? They beat somebody else, too, the other day, didn't they?
Probably. I haven't watched a whole lot of Arizona games.
I didn't watch it. I thought I saw that score. Yeah, that doesn't make sense, does it? Why would they be at 98%?
I don't know. I mean, they've got the Rangers tonight, which the Rangers are very good. Now, they do have Detroit and Columbus later this week, but, you know, Nashville, Boston, Vegas, Vancouver, Colorado, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. I mean, their schedule is just like everybody else. So maybe Money Puck just really loves the Minnesota Wild. I don't know.
I guess so, huh? They just big on the Wild, huh? That's interesting. But, yeah, I mean, the Preds, of course, were in the 90s. How long ago? Not too long ago.
3-4 weeks ago, yeah, in the 90s. Now, again, you take these things with a grain of salt. Halfway through last year, the Preds had a less than 1% chance of making the playoffs. So it is what it is. I mean, it's useful. It certainly is not the be-all, end-all when it comes to whether or not teams are going to make the playoffs. Like, it's useful, but that's about where I draw the line. Like, Edmonton right now is at 57.8% to make the playoffs, which is a better percentage than the Predators, and I don't buy that. I know that they have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, but I trust the Nashville Predators way more than I trust the Edmonton Oilers right now.
I need to know what the formula is for that. I mean, how much of this is just subjective, like, yeah, I really like that team, you know? Yeah, they've got Connor McDavid. Yeah, I thought the Preds weren't going to be good, and now it's starting to look that way. So let's cut 15% off the, you know, off the probability.
Well, they run a simulation of the rest of the NHL season 100,000 times each time they create one of these. So that seems pretty fancy.
Yeah, that's a lot. 100,000 times.
That's what it says.
Okay.
100,000 times.
It's just like the Wild are just tearing everyone up every single time. Okay.
The Wild are just lighting it up out there. When we come back, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on all things NFL and the Aaron Rodgers situation as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.